الصبح بدا من طلعته والليل دجى من وفرته الله 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 الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون. وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأطيعوا الرسول لعلكم ترحمون. لا تحسبن الذين كفروا معجزين في الأرض ومأواهم النار ولبئس المصير. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ليستأذنكم الذين ملكت أيمانكم والذين لم يبلغوا الحلم منكم ثلاث مرات من قبل صلاة الفجر وحين تضعون ثيابكم من الظهيرة ومن بعد صلاة العشاء ثلاث عورات لكم ليس عليكم ولا عليهم جناح بعدهن طوافون عليكم بعضكم على بعض كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم. وإذا بلغ الأطفال منكم الحلم فليستأذنوا كما استأذن الذين من قبلهم كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته والله عليم حكيم. والقواعد من النساء اللاتي لا يرجون نكاحا فليس عليهن جناح أن يضعن ثيابهن غير متبرجات بزينة وأن يستعففن خير لهم والله سميع عليم. ليس على الأعمى حرج ولا على الأعرج حرج ولا على المريض حرج ولا على أنفسكم أن تأكلوا من بيوتكم أو بيوت آبائكم أو بيوت أمهاتكم أو بيوت إخوانكم أو بيوت أخواتكم أو بيوت أعمامكم أو بيوت عماتكم أو بيوت أخوالكم أو بيوت خالاتكم أو بيوت خالاتكم أو ما ملكتم مفاتحه أو صديقكم. ليس عليكم جناح أن تأكلوا جميعا أو أشتاتا فإذا دخلتم بيوتا فسلموا على أنفسكم تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تعقلون.
Starting inshallah from ayah number 55, Surah An-Nur. And the people who were present last week, they will remember that the subject of discussion was the iman of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, and how they constantly made excuses to stay away from striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam during difficult times. So the first ayah, it talks about the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for the people of iman and the one who does good deeds. And there could be a few reasons for this. So firstly, that if you look at the previous ayat, like I just mentioned, it is talking about the munafiqeen. Now the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they had this thing in their mind all the time. That, you know, this thing that's going on, people are becoming Muslim and so on, and what Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is calling towards, it is just kind of a phase that people are going through. Okay? And always they had in the back of their mind that these people, they're going to lose out. Because obviously right from the very beginning until the end, in the last few years, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started giving victory to the Muslims, up until that point, the Muslims were downtrodden, oppressed, and it didn't seem from any angle that they were going to get victory. You know, so much so that the whole of the Arab lands were against them, and, you know, it got to a point, you know, the breaking point, or one of the breaking points was at Ghazwatul Ahzab, where the Munafiqeen basically started saying that مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا, that all of these promises that Allah and His Prophet have been making, they are false promises. So this ayah, the first ayah, it talks about the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for the people who have iman and they follow that up by doing good deeds, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them victory and He will give them power over the earth. So this is basically to counter that. And also, you know, there were points during the Muslims, true Muslims, life, when people had these questions in their mind that how is it that, you know, we're going through so much hard time, and is there going to be any time in which we're going to find true peace? So in response to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. There's a riwayah that I'd just like to mention, that it said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was in Mecca for 10 years. And during that time of 10 years, the majority of the time, there was persecution and they were downtrodden. So then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the order to move to Madinatul Munawwara. And after that, the ruling of jihad and fighting came about, obviously, not to instigate fighting, but fighting in self-defense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to fight. So then the Sahaba, after seeing all of these difficulties, first of all the oppression that they saw in Mecca, and then the fighting that they saw in Medina, they came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and said, Ya Rasulullah, abad al-dahr nahnu khaifun hakada. Are we going to be just always fearful like we are now? All the time we're in fear for our lives. So is that going to be going on all the time? أَمَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْنَا يَوْمٌ نَأْمَنُ فِيهِ وَنَضَعُ عَنَّا الصَّلَاحِ. Is there going to be any day in which we're going to get peace and we can basically drop our weapons? Because they had to have their weapons with them at all times. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, لَنْ تَصْبِرُوا إِلَّا يَسِيرًا حَتَّى يَجْلِسَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْكُمْ فِي الْمَلَأِ الْعَظِيمِ مُحْتَبِيًا لَيْسَتْ فِيهِ حَدِيدًا. So the Prophet ﷺ said that you'll only have to wait for a short amount of time. Just be patient a little bit more. And then there will come a time when one of you will be sitting in a huge gathering and he's going to be wrapped with his clothes and he will not be carrying any weapon. So not carrying a weapon was something of a big deal that the Sahaba longed for. They wanted. They didn't want to have to carry weapons. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ told them that there will come a time when you're not going to have to worry about carrying weapons. And of course, after an amount of time, that is what happened. They stopped carrying weapons and a time of peace came to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed this ayah after this question was posed to them. Bara ibn Azib, he says about this ayah, this ayah was revealed while we were in a lot of fear. And this ayah, it is like the ayah, وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ أَنْتُمْ قَلِيلٌ مُسْتَضَعْفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Remember when you were a small amount and you were oppressed on the earth. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in and this verse, كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, which is in this verse, it is just like the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَنْ يُهْلِكَ عَدُوَكُمْ وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his followers, the Bani Israel, they were in so much oppression, under the oppression of Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made them this promise, and ultimately what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed Fir'aun and his army. So Allah made him a promise, and similarly He made the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam a promise. So what is that verse? Verse number 55, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises those people who have iman from amongst you and they did good deeds, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ. The wording is so strong, it's very powerful, that most certainly He will give them the khilafah of the earth. He will give them the kingdom of the earth. Okay, now the word Khilafah, many people just translate it as just kingdom. I've just translated it as kingdom too. But I'm just going to explain what the concept of Khilafah is. Khilafah is not just to have ruling power. Okay, Khilafah means to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's vicegerent on this earth. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says to the angels when He created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. I'm making a khalifa on the earth. What is the purpose of the khalifa? To do Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bidding on this earth. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to happen, He wants people to do, that khalifa implements that on the earth. Not like the rulers of this day and age who are living hedonistic lifestyles, lives of debauchery and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living their lives following their lusts and desires. This is not called Khilafah. Okay? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do when we have iman and we do good deeds, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us Khilafah that will implement what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants on this earth. So any person who's ruling now, but he's not doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, that is not a Khalifa. That is not istikhlaf al-ard. But if we do good deeds, and we have, if we have iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that true Khilafah. The wording, like I said, is very strong. لَا يَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ. Most certainly, He will give them the Khilafah on the earth. كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Just like He gave Khilafah to the people that came before. So many people came before, many nations that came before, that were pious, were obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they fought for justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Khilafah on the earth. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give power for them, for their deen that He has chosen for them. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ. تَمْكِين means to ground something on the earth. Okay, so what it means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen will be grounded. It will be the thing that will be implemented and practiced. Because that is the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for people. That is the deen that He has chosen for us. So when people, they do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, then they will get the khilafah of the earth, and also the deen, the religion will rise, and you know, the honor of Islam will become prevalent over the earth. وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. And most certainly, He will change them after their fear into peace. Okay, after their fear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring peace. Okay, so addressing the issue and the concerns of the Sahaba, that how come we don't have peace? How come we all always have to look over our shoulders? So we saw that during the history, during the time of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, we saw that there was a lot of peace on the earth to a point that people did not have to carry around weapons anymore. يَعَبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. The people will worship me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. They will worship me only, and they will not commit shirk with me. Islam will become prevalent. It will be the thing that people practice. They will stop committing shirk with me. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Now after that, whoever is ungrateful or he is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such people, they are truly fasiqeen, they are wrongdoers. After that Allah says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَعَطِيُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. What is that deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us? What is the amalu salih that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will come down? Firstly, establishing of the salat. Not just praying the salat, establishing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't use the word salli or sallu in the Quran. Only in one place, during the salat which is done in the battlefield. That is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word salli or sallu. In all other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word aqimu salah. Establish the salat, perfect the salat, be punctual with your salat. All of these meanings could fit in there. So, reading and praying the salat 5 times daily on its time and being aware of it. That's the first thing. Giving of the zakat. Second thing. وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. Obeying the Prophet ﷺ and establishing his sunnah. Following his sunnah. The result of this will be لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Maybe you will have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And this is actually a royal way of talking. Okay, it's like when you go to a very prominent person and you need something done. It's not very common here in this country, but back home in Pakistan, India, Middle East, you need, you know, a wasta or, you know, some kind of help from somebody in charge, and you go and talk to him, and he says, I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do. So what is it, that word? When he says that, I'll see what I can do, you are pretty much guaranteed that that person is going to do it, okay? Because, and he's basically using words in a royal sense to show that he is kind of in charge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word لَعَلَّكُمْ, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on you. So it's not a maybe. For sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon us. But this is a royal way of talking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adopts in the Quran, and it means for sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon us if we do all of the things that have been mentioned here. And when we do these things, the promise that is in the previous ayah of istikhlaf al-ard, that will happen. Now just think how many of us who are normal, you know, attendees of the masjid, how many of us are particular about all of these things? How many of us establish the salat all the time and make sure we pray it on time? How many of us give the zakat punctually? How many of us follow the Prophet ﷺ to the letter? Okay, so then the answer to the question, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help not coming down? This is the answer: because we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing in terms of the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مُعْجِزِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Never assume that those people that did kufr, that kufr can have two meanings here, ingratitude, or it can mean the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kufr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disbelief. So don't think, never assume that those people that did kufr, they're going to become prevalent over the earth. They're going to suppress the people on the earth, and they're going to be to overpower the other people on the earth. وَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ, and their abode will be the hellfire. وَلَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ, and this is the worst abode. So at the end Allah says that when on the one hand people have full iman and they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in opposition to them there is kufr, that kufr can never be victorious. That kufr can never be victorious in that case. Now, so this was one subject that was discussed in the middle, and that talked about the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people who do iman and good deeds. And like I said, it was in opposition to, first of all, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, and also it was a consolation. The Muslims were being consoled that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will help us, we just have to be a little bit patient. Now, we go back again to the main theme of the surah, which were social issues. Right from the very beginning, social issues have been discussed. So again, social issues, issues within the household, that is going to be discussed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِيَسْتَأْذِنْكُمُ الَّذِينَ مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُوا الْحُلُمَ مِنْكُمْ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. O people of Iman, those people, those slaves that you own, and those people, those kids that have not reached maturity from amongst you, they should take permission from you three times. Okay, so the ruling is, you're teaching your servants first and foremost, the people who are working in your house, and the children that are growing up in your house, to take permission three times when they enter. Okay, now in those days, what used to happen, there were no doors, no curtains, so people had to basically, can I come in outside, not just barge into the house. So this was something that was, like we heard earlier on in the surah, this was an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but for the people within the household, there were special rules that also had to be implemented. And this is what this ayah is talking about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that at three times during the day, the people, the kids and the servants, they are supposed to take permission. What are those three times? Min qabli salatil fajr. Before salatul fajr. At night, obviously, when people are sleeping, and before salatul fajr, before the time of fajr, the husband and wife are laying together, they should take permission. That's the first thing. وَحِينَ تَضَعُونَ ثِيَابَكُمْ مِنَ الظَّهِيرَةِ. When you disrobe during the time of dhuhr. Okay, so the second time, and this is very common in India, Pakistan and the Middle East, that during the afternoon, after lunch, people go to sleep. And actually it is a sunnah, it's called qailula. Okay, and that qailula, nowadays in this country, they call it a power nap. Okay, to go to sleep for about 10-15 minutes to kind of refresh your mind. Okay, so qailula, it's a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and it's still commonly practiced in the Middle East and India and Pakistan. But at that time, also people can be disrobed. They can have their clothes off, and the husband and wife can be together. So this is the second time that the kids are instructed to take permission before entering. وَمِن بَعْدِ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ. And after Salatul Isha, after everybody goes to sleep, after Salatul Isha, obviously, again, husband and wife together, and it could be that the child could walk in. The child has to be taught at these three times to take permission before entering. Of course, in this day and age, knock before entering, okay? And do not enter without taking permission. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا عَلَيْهِمْ جُنَاحٌ بَعْدَهُنْ. Now at other times, during the day, it is not normal for a person to be disrobed and out of his clothes. At all other times, usually a person is in his clothes. If he needs to change his clothes or something of that nature, then he will take the necessary precautions. But if during that time somebody walks in, then it's not that child's fault, because he is changing his clothes or he is disrobed at an odd time, which is unexpected. Okay, so Allah says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا عَلَيْهِمْ جُنَاحٌ بَعْدَهُنْ. After these three times, or in addition to these three times, at any other time, if a person walks in on you, then there is no fault on them. It's your fault for not taking the right precautions. طَوَّافُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Why is it not their fault? Because they are coming and going amongst you. They are coming in, going out. This is kind of what a family is about. It's not that, you know, you can have one portion of the house that you cannot allow your children in at any time of the day. This is something that's impossible to implement. Okay, so Allah says, طَوَّافُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ. It's the word tawaf. When you circumambulate around the Kaaba. And tawaf means all the time, wandering around all the time. Kids, they're running in and out and upstairs, downstairs. You cannot stop them. Okay, so only at those three times you can put the restriction, but at other times you cannot put that restriction. If you do have to disrobe or change clothes, then you have to take necessary precautions, or tell them particularly that I'm changing my clothes, don't come in. Okay. طَوَّافُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to you the signs and the ayat. Allahu alimun hakeem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is all-knowing and all-wise. Now this ruling for the kids was before they reached maturity. Now what about when they actually reach maturity? This is the next ayah. Allah says, وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ مِنْكُمُ الْحُلُمَ فَلْيَسْتَأْذِنُوا كَمَا اسْتَأْذَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And once the kids reach a mature age, meaning mature here means bulugh. Okay, in the case of boys, they start having nocturnal emissions, meaning wet dreams. And in the case of girls, their menstruation starts. Once that happens, then they have to take permission. The translation is, فَلْيَسْتَأْذِنُوا. They should seek permission. كَمَا اسْتَأْذَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. As the people before them, they sought permission. Which is mentioned previously in the surah, that every time a person comes into the house from outside, he has to take permission. Okay, so similarly, an older child, because he is more mature and he has more knowledge of things, he should take permission at all times, not just those three times. كَذَٰلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He explains to you His signs. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Alim, He is all-knowing. Hakim, He is all-wise. And again, Allah says that twice. He says that in the previous ayah, He says that in this next ayah. And only He knows, I mean, we've explained the wisdoms, you know, right now, that we understand, but only He truly understands the wisdoms behind this ruling. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a certain exception for women who are old. That what kind of dress should they be wearing amongst the family? Allah says, وَالْقَوَاعِدُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ اللَّاتِي لَا يَرْجُونَ نِكَاحًا. Those women that are qa'id, qa'id means sitting. Basically, they're old aged, and because of that, they're retired. They don't really do much. They're just sitting around the house. So Allah says about them, those women that are sitting, and they have no hope of any nikah, meaning that people in a normal circumstances, they're not attracted to them to get married to them. Okay? So basically, a woman who's reached an age where she doesn't have any attractiveness to the opposite gender, this is their ruling. فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِنَّ جُنَاحٍ. There is no harm for them. أَنْ يَضَعْنَ ثِيَابَهُنَّ. That they should disrobe. And it refers to the outside clothing. Okay? Meaning a cloak, jilbab, or the rida, you know, that women usually wear when they're going outside, the chadar, or the rida is called in Arabic. Okay? So referring to that, it's okay that they don't basically wear the hijab, put it another way. It's okay for them not to have the hijab on in front of strangers even. Okay, it's okay for them to remove the hijab. فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِنَّ جُنَاحٌ أَن يُضَعْنَ ثِيَابَهُنَّ. But the ruling is غَيْرَ مُتَبَرِّجَاتٍ بِزِينَةٍ. They cannot be beautified. They cannot be beautified in that situation. Okay, now it's a very beautiful and a fine point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put here. غَيْرَ مُتَبَرِّجَاتٍ بِزِينَةٍ. That a woman, for example, in this day and age, who's 50, 55, 60, 65, she can do plastic surgery and look like she's 35. Okay, so this condition, it exempts that woman also. Yes, she may be 65, maybe she cannot have kids anymore, she's reached that old age, which is being referred to here, but she has zina on her. She has beautified herself. So in that case, now she should cover also, because now she's become attractive to the opposite gender. So the rule is غَيْرَ مُتَبَرِّجَاتٍ بِزِينَةٍ. Once a woman has beautified herself, then this rule does not apply. She should start wearing the hijab and she should cover herself up in front of the mahram. وَإِن يَسْتَعْفِفْنَ خَيْرٌ لَهُنْ. And although this ruling is there for the women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say that if they adopt purity, it is better for them. If they adopt purity, meaning they go the extra mile in terms of covering themselves up, it is better for them. Meaning, yes, the hijab is not obligatory upon them, but if they do it, then it is better for them. Wallahu samiyun alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is all hearing and all knowing. Now the subject changes a little bit here, and it talks about now eating food at people's houses. And again, this is a social issue, that you go to visit people's houses and you eat at their house. So what happened was that when a particular ayah was revealed, it talked about consuming other people's wealth. Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. That don't consume each other's wealth in a false way. And what that ayah is referring to is, don't eat in a false way, don't steal, don't eat wealth from interest, and so on and so forth. But people, they became a little bit, obsessive about eating at people's houses. They wouldn't go to eat at people's houses because they felt that, you know, maybe I'm doing something wrong by eating somebody's wealth. So this ayah was revealed. So firstly, there are three kinds of disabilities that have been mentioned. And again, there's a blind person, and there's a lame person, and a sick person, okay, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them. In these, all of these three cases, people used to kind of avoid eating with these kinds of people. Why? Because when a blind person is eating with you, then he doesn't see what is in front of him. So the host, he might feel that because he's blind, he cannot see what's in front of him, he might be depriving himself of the good food. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he mentioned the ruling about the blind person. And the same thing about the lame person. The lame person who cannot walk properly. The same thing that people think because he has a disability, he will not be able to consume, he will not be able to benefit from the dinner that's in front of him, from the food that is in front of him, like the other people can benefit. Okay, so they used to avoid inviting a lame person. And the same thing with a sick person, that a sick person, he obviously doesn't even feel like eating because he's going through this sickness. So they felt that if they were to invite a sick person, then that person, because of his sickness, is not going to eat. So they, as a host, are not fulfilling the rights of that sick person. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these three categories of people and told them that there's no harm. Call a blind person, call a lame person, call a sick person, let them eat with you. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay, they will eat what they can, and there's nothing wrong with having them at the same table as yourselves. So Allah says, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ. There is no haraj, there is no harm upon the blind person, nor on the a'raj, meaning the lame person, وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ, and nor on the sick person. Any harm, وَلَا عَلَى أَنفُسِكُمْ أَن تَأْكُلُوا مِن بُيُوتِكُمْ, and there is no harm upon yourself that you eat from your own houses, or the houses of your fathers, أو بيوت آبائكم, أو بيوت أمهاتكم, or the houses of your mothers, أو بيوت إخوانكم, or the houses of your brothers, أو بيوت أخواتكم, or the houses of your sisters, أو بيوت أعمامكم, or the houses of your paternal uncles, meaning uncles from your father's side, أو بيوت عماتكم, or the houses of your paternal aunts from your father's side, أو بيوت أخوالكم, or the houses of your maternal uncles, أو بيوت خالاتكم, or the houses of your maternal aunts, أو ما ملكتم مفاتيحه, or that house whose keys you own, أو صديقكم, or your friends. Okay, so this أو ما ملكتم مفاتيحه, what does it mean? It means there are two things, that either a person has servants who is living at your house, meaning you have servants' quarters, and those servants are living at your in those quarters, and they have food inside there. So it's your own house, it's your possession, so you can go inside and take food and eat from it. And all of the rest of the things that have been mentioned, all of the other relatives, obviously it's just like your own house, your uncle's house, your aunt's house, your mother's house, your father's house, it's your own house. So there's no harm in eating from those houses. Okay, so if you go into your father's house and there's something in the fridge, some juice in the fridge, you take it out and drink it, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not haram for you to do that. You don't have to take permission every single time to do that. Okay, because the permission is widely known and accepted that this is your house, this is your relative's house, and you can participate and you can consume from there. And the last one was صديقكم, your friend. Okay, generally speaking, if it is a true friend, then you can go to his house, eat at his house, and he will not mind you going there. Okay, if he's not a true friend, then he'll mind. Okay, so he's not a friend at all. So it doesn't apply. So it's permissible for everybody to eat at each other's houses in this case that has been mentioned here. Now, there was another point that used to be prevalent amongst people. And there were two extremes. One extreme was that some people, they wanted to eat alone, just like the Hindus eat. They only eat in their own plates. They will not share with anybody. So that was one extreme that some people had. And the other extreme was that people used to not eat anything if they didn't have somebody with them. And it got to a point sometimes that they didn't eat. If there was nobody to eat with them, they would not eat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. I mean, it doesn't make any difference whether you eat alone or whether you eat together. If you eat together, then of course there is more barakah in that. And there's a hadith which have been mentioned about some sahaba that they said, Inna na'kulu wa la nashba. We eat and we don't get full. We don't get full once when we eat. So the Prophet ﷺ said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَأْكُلُونَ مُتَفَرِّقِينَ. Maybe you eat separately. اجتمعوا على طعامكم واذكروا اسم الله يبارك لكم فيه. Eat the food together and remember the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say Bismillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you barakah in it. Okay? So there are two things here. Eating together, it has barakah. And again, we should, as a family, try to eat around the same dinner table. And if possible, eat from the same plates. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And also, to say Bismillah at the beginning, it would put barakah in it. Now, if there's nobody to eat with you, and you're eating alone, obviously there's nothing wrong with that also. You can eat on your own. It's not haram to do that. Okay, but, you know, what this ayah was revealed about were those people who went to those extremes. Some people who only wanted to eat alone, and other people that only wanted to eat together. Allah says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَأْكُلُوا جَمِيعًا أَوْ أَشْتَاتًا. There is no harm upon you, whether you eat together or you eat separately. It doesn't make any difference. Both are permissible. فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. Now another thing has been mentioned here, which is the importance of salam. To say salam when you enter the house. And once you enter the houses, then you make salam upon yourselves. This is a tahiyyah. This is a greeting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is blessed and pure. So, different situations. When you go to the house, you say salam to the family. Obviously, that's very, very clear. Even if the house is empty, you say salam. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. That's mentioned in the hadith. A person should, in an empty house, he should say that. And the angels will respond to that salam. And there's a beautiful hadith. One hadith before that. Qatada says, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِكَ فَسَلِّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ. When you enter upon your family, then say salam to them. And this is, again, many of us, we don't do that. We think it's a family, so don't say salam. وَإِذَا دَخَلْتَ بَيْتًا لَيْسَ فِيهِ أَحَدٍ فَقُلْ أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَىٰ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ. And when you enter a house in which there's nobody else, you should say, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Salam upon us and upon Allah's pious slaves. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يُؤْمَرُ بِذَلِكَ وَحَدَّثَنَا أَنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِ. This was something that was ordered by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, the response comes from the angels. The angels respond to the person who makes salam to the empty house. And there's another beautiful hadith. Awsan in Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates, Awsan in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi khamsi khisal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised me five things. He advised me to do five things. What were they? He said, Ya Anas, asbighil wudu yazid fi umrik. He said, O Anas, make wudu properly, it will increase your life. It will increase your life, it will give you barakah. وَسَلِّمْ عَلَى مَنْ لَقِيَكَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي تُكْثِرْ حَسَنَاتِكَ. And make salam upon any person that you meet or meets you from my ummah, and this will increase your hasanat. وَإِذَا دَخَلْتَ يعني بَيْتَكَ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَى أَهْلِكَ يَكْثُرْ خَيْرُ بَيْتِكَ. And when you enter upon your family at your own house, say salam to them, a lot of khair and goodness will increase in your house. وَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ الضُّحَىٰ فَإِنَّهَا صَلَاتُ الْأَوَّابِينَ قَبْلَكَ. And pray salatul duha. Pray the duha prayer, which is mid-morning prayer, because this was the salat of the awwabin before you. Awwabin means the people who make tawbah. Now there's a common understanding among some people that there are six rakat to be prayed after maghrib, and that is known as awwabin, salatul awwabin. But there is no solid proof of that. There is no hadith that mentions that. Okay, the only word awwabin when referring to salat is this hadith here. which talks about the Salatul Duha, and it is being referred to by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Salatul Awwabin, the prayer of the people who make tawbah. And the last thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised, he said, Ya Anas, irhamis saghir, have mercy on the young person, wa waqiril kabir, and respect the elderly person, takun min rufaqai yawm al-qiyamah, you will be from my companions on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah. Beautiful hadith, and we should try to implement those five things that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned here. Okay, so the going back to the point, that is to make salam upon the family when you enter, and making salam upon everybody, this is something that we should be doing, and we are lacking in making salam. It will increase our love for each other, it will increase our affection for each other, and this is something that we need to keep in mind. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains for you the signs or the ayat so that you would understand, so that you would take heed, so that you would understand. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said in hand. لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه الله ربي لا أريد سواه